It is Cubs Sox weekend. Welcome to the Windy City White Sox podcast. That's right. The King has turned down an invitation to Wrigley Field. Courtney and Mo will both be in attendance at Wrigley over the weekend. The King does not have the you-know-whats to enter one of the great ballparks in all of baseball. Really, just kind of amazing. White Sox fans, you're going to have an amazing time this weekend. I'm planning on being in attendance myself. It's going to be a lambasting of the Chicago Cubs. I'm looking at the power rankings today. Sox are fifth in baseball, according to ESPN. The Cubs are 24th and falling. This is a time to enjoy yourself and have a weekend, I don't know, to remember, but just a weekend to just sit back and enjoy the fact that, let's be real, when the Cubs won their first World Series since 1908 and 2016, there was a legit concern that they were going to have an extended run, that they were going to pass the White Sox by and pass 05 by. Never happened. Never even came close to happening. And now the White Sox are oh so close to going past the Cubs in World Series numbers, three apiece, and getting to be the team in Chicago that holds the crown as the last team to win the World Series. It could, of course, come as soon as this year. We got some Lucas Giolito talk to get to today, scuffled a little bit as we look towards the playoffs and the rotation, and I think that's the main thing to be watching the rest of the way. Who is pitching well, and who will be getting the ball come Game 1 of the playoffs, Game 2, and Game 3. There's also the Field of Dreams game, which is going to be sweet. Sox and Yankees in Dyersville, Iowa. The King is going. I plan on being there myself with a sweet promotion, so that has been a great development in the last couple of days. Field of Dreams, the White Sox on the main stage. Unlike Fox Sports, who somehow did not have the White Sox in the top 10 in their power rankings, just flat forgot about the White Sox and apologize. But how hard is that when you're looking at teams and you're doing the rankings, you literally just forgot about the Sox? That is incredibly hard to do, but it was done and apologized for, and at the end of the day, I guess it really does not matter. The Windy City Podcast, you know it, you love it, brought to you by Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com, put in that promo code FANSIDED20. You get 20% off and free shipping with the code, and you get yourself the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. This thing is amazing. They call it the spaceship. It's here to guide you on a journey to trim your body, your balls, your butt, and even, as they write it, Uranus. That's right. What a phenomenal planet. And I think, a great spot for all of us to appreciate even more. The Weed Whacker. It's waterproof. It's got the 9,000 RPM motor. That's right. It's got the power, and it takes care of business. And don't forget, you got the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. That is just so nice after you use your Manscaped to make you feel oh so good. The Crop Reviver. And you've got your two free gifts, Manscaped Boxers, the Shed Travel Bag. Live the dream. Get yourself your Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. Manscaped.com, fansided 20. Your balls will thank you. The Windy City White Sox Podcast with the Red Hot. Well, not Red Hot. They've lost 8 of 13. But hey, Red Hot in cruising towards the playoffs. White Sox starts right now.
Showtime.
What's your excuse for being late this week, King? What's going on over there?
I blame the host, and let me tell you why I blame the host.
Oh, I
can't wait to hear link doesn't show up until the exact moment we're supposed to be on. It's called PPP, piss poor planning. If the link is there prior to, we can get it in our schedule, and we can all show up on time.
Okay, so this is just a straight lie. I called you just now, and you were doing whatever you were doing.
Only because the link wasn't there prior to 6, so I didn't know if we were going to have it. The link showed up exactly at 6 o'clock. You cannot expect talent to be waiting for host.
Hey, Courtney,
talent has places to go, people to speak to, baseball teams to analyze. Okay. You have to plan better, Mark. And congratulations, Mark Garman, for being on the pregame on August 21st.
That's right, baby.
You are part of the White Sox family, for God's sake.
I have been,
love having you.
I have been for a long time, and I can't wait to be there on the 21st. But you're burying the lead. You're trying to get out of this by singing my praises. Courtney, how come you were able to be on right on time when I sent the link?
I will just say one thing, that King has a small points. You do tend to send the link right at 6.
I do.
So if you send it like right like 15 minutes early, even a half hour early, people like the King, who's on the King time, can get there on time, in my humble opinion.
Okay. I'm gonna hypothesize, and next week I will do that if I send the link, and I'll send it an hour in advance.
There we go. An hour in advance.
The King will not come through in this scenario. Mo, how come you were able to be on?
Well, based on King's analysis, the people with talent can't be here on time. I have no talent, so it was easy for me to get here on time.
Oh, Mo, you
need a hug, my man.
You didn't need to turn that in on yourself. That's not right.
That's all right. Clicking that link is pretty easy for me. I can do that.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you were Lucas Giolito last night. You didn't have the scuffles. Three homers. That, by the way, ties a season high and one short of his career worst. You remember Minnesota, July 25th, 2019. By the way, that was in four innings of work. I don't know.
I was there last night. He looked like the Lucas Giolito of 4 years ago, the worst pitcher in the major leagues.
Ooh, King.
Now, with that said,
King is being negative. I almost spilled my wine.
With that said, we're all entitled to a bad day. Always, we're all entitled to a bad day. He's been pitching pretty well since the All-Star break, so I'm going to give him a bad day. I'm going to give the whole team a bad day. People didn't bat well, people didn't pitch well, and I'll even say maybe Tony La Russa didn't manage well. We all have bad days, and yesterday was one of them.
Let me be hyperbolic, Carm, for a second here, just go over the top. How many times this year has Giolito allowed at least 6 runs? Anybody? Bueller?
At least twice.
Okay. Mo is incorrect. Well, he's correct that it is at least twice. And anybody else?
I got nothing.
Three times now. And listen, I'm a Lucas Giolito fan, and I believe in Lucas Giolito. But you got a hell of a rotation, and we're in August. The playoffs are coming. I don't know, Lucas Giolito. You might not get to start in the playoffs the way things are going, or maybe you're the fourth starter. Dude's got to step it up. It shouldn't just be absolutely guaranteed that Lucas, because of his tenure, gets to start in the playoffs. And I don't think Tony will do it that way, for the record.
And I agree with that. I definitely think Tony will not do that. And right now, if the playoffs started tomorrow, I think he is the fourth starter. And that's just the way it is. I mean, even though we didn't get a chance to talk about this last week, I'm starting to get a little bit nervous about my buddy Carlos Rodon. I just feel like, and Mo, you probably know this off the top of your head, you're Mr. Stat Guy. I don't think Rodon has ever pitched a full season in the majors, and he's kind of showing it. I mean, he's starting to kind of run out of gas a little bit. It's making me a little uneasy. So I think that's something that we need to pay attention to a little bit going forward here in these dog days of, the baseball season.
Mo, do you agree with Courtney, or are you not worried about Rodon?
I think with Rodon, yeah, I'm a little curious when she says Giolito would be fourth. Who, if Cease would be ahead? I mean, right now, I agree. I'm curious with the lead they have, if some of it is just the dog days of summer. Giolito has not been great on every start. He was really bad, and he admitted it. I'm not super concerned. I wish he would be more consistent this year. But, you know, we'll see what happens come September. And I just go back to how he pitched in Oakland. I mean, he was locked in and focused. I feel more comfortable giving him the ball than Rodon or Cease in a playoff game right now. That can obviously change in 2 months.
That's an interesting comment. Carlos Rodon, for the record, was incredible 3 starts ago when he went 7 and gave up 1 hit and struck out 10 and beat the Astros, who are just getting lambasted by Dodgers fans over the weekend, during the week, if you guys are paying attention to that. But his last 2 starts, 4 innings apiece, and knocked around by the Brewers, knocked around by Kansas City. And to Courtney's point, like Carlos, he always gets his velocity moves up as you go throughout the ball game. And to me, that signifies a guy who's protecting his arm, and as well he should, because, you know, we're talking about multiple surgeries here and a guy who's battled it. So it's a very interesting challenge the White Sox have to protect Rodon, because I'll say this. If they are going to win the World Series, I do think they need an elite Carlos Rodon in the playoffs to do it.
They do. They do. I mean, and that's going to be the key. And, you know, the guy has been arguably the MVP of the first half, you know, this year. So he has shown he has the talent. He has shown that he can be that bulldog Carlos Rodon that we needed, that we've always wanted. But the last two starts, as you called out, are definitely a concern. Now, if he comes out against the Cubs and he's kind of, you know, sputtering again, you might want to take a look and see what's going on. Maybe give him, you know, a rest if we're looking to protect his arm, especially since the Sox have such a large lead right now going into September. So it'll be interesting what happens.
Since Courtney brought up.
So Mark, real quick on the stats, to her point, he did in 2016 make 28 starts, 165 innings since then, 12 starts in 2017, 20 in 2018, which was kind of the high water mark since then, because 2019, 7 starts, 2020, basically 7 innings. And then this year, he's at 104. So that fatigue certainly could be a factor for him.
You guys get up just thinking about what's bad about life. I mean, we did not even count on Carlos Rodon making the rotation this year. We have one no-hitter behind us. We have a great season thus far. I remember Courtney loving Dylan Cease, calling him the most valuable pitcher, or projecting him to be the most valuable pitcher on this team at the beginning of the year. He's pitching great. I don't care if it's Keuchel. I don't care if it's Cease. I don't care if it's Lynn and Rodon or Giolito. We're going to have some a strong pitching staff in the playoffs, whether they're in the whether they start and go 4 innings or whether they're in the pen. Come on here. We need more, a little more hitting. We need Eloy to start hitting. We need Robert to be back. We got to start talking about just gelling. We got the tools. Let's stay positive here, folks.
Well, King, to just a small comment there. You started off the podcast very negative today. I was quite shocked. I mean, I almost spilled my wine hearing you actually say maybe La Russa made a couple mistakes last night. That was kind of shocking.
I said we have bad days. We all have bad days. We don't have to extrapolate them across the entire universe. It's a bad day. We got beautiful things in front of us, baby. And Carmen's doing August 21st on the TV. What more could we ask for?
This is a podcast where we ride the roller coaster of the baseball season every week. If you want to sit here and act like it's hunky-dory at all moments, this is not the podcast for you. You can be that guy, by the way, on this podcast, but you are going to get some resistance that we are going to live the baseball season the way a baseball season is meant to be ridden.
Why don't we live Sunday at Guaranteed Rate Field in the 9th inning and Goodwin comes up and jacks one for a walk-off and we all hug and cry together? Why don't we concentrate on that?
Who was crying?
I was inside. I was crying of joy. I was just happy to be alive and being able to watch a Major League Baseball game. I was definitely crying with joy.
Okay.
King was crying because he was sad that our time was over when the game was over.
He was hoping for extras. He was hoping for extras.
And listen, that's beautiful, King. I appreciate your emotions. Speaking of...
The next day, we won 7-1. So we had a bad day. We got our ass kicked last night, 9-1. We all looked bad, even Tony. So let's let it go. Let's concentrate on tonight.
Hey, listen there, Sir King. It is a very fair conversation, which is a positive conversation about who is going to start for the White Sox in the playoffs. Yes, it's early. It's August the 5th. But we're cruising to the playoffs, baby. Let's be positive. Let's start to look at that rotation and let's start to see what's going on here. There's roughly 60 days left, so Lucas has plenty of time to get it going. But I'm not exactly sure if he will or he won't, and I'm just teeing it up. Speaking of, by the way, enjoying the season, the White Sox heading into Wrigley this weekend. Mo, what did you call it just a second ago?
Wrigley? I was using the word urinal, which I believe was used on an earlier podcast by some others.
You said that you're going to be at the urinal. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah, and Courtney, what have you called it? You're going to Wrigley this week, and what did you call it? I believe it was a toilet.
I called it a rat hole, which it is.
Rat hole. We got urinal, we got rat hole. What do you call Wrigley, King?
Well,
King was the one who called it a urinal.
I got invited to the first row behind the White Sox dugout to watch that game, and I wrote back, hell no. That is a living that place is a shit hole.
And King, I gotta find fault with you. Go support your team, man.
No, who cares? I won't go in that.
Who cares if it doesn't have the accoutrements that a king like yourself is used to?
First of all, go support the Sox. They don't need me there. They want you there.
We want you there.
Third class team. It is not even Major League Baseball there. As Mark Carmen said in the last prelude to the podcast, 48-0 I predict the White Sox beating the Cubs.
And I did, and I do, and I wonder.
I'll take the under. What are we betting?
It's going to be worse than that. But you're right.
No, it's not. Okay, on any given day.
Sure.
I'll be honest. I live right down the street from Wrigley, and I would not be going if the tickets weren't free. The thought of, I mean, right now, thinking about going to Wrigley on Saturday is actually giving me anxiety. I cannot even stand the thought of it. Seriously.
Well, that's because you're surrounded by people who don't know baseball.
Exactly.
Surrounded by the rich and the beautiful, but not the baseball fans. Come down to the south side, the Guaranteed Rate Field, where the true baseball fans reside.
Let me just tell you that take is maybe the dumbest take in baseball history. As an expert in fandom, as a longtime vendor, do you know how many days I spent in the outfield at Comiskey Park with White Sox fans with their back to the field, hanging out, drinking Miller Lite, and not giving a rat's patoot what's going on out there? It's no different.
That's a lie. It is absolutely different.
Oh, please. Lie.
It is a known fact about Wrigley. They used to call it the biggest bar in Chicago for a reason.
So you don't think that Guaranteed Rate Field is a huge bar?
Of course it is.
Kinder started at Wrigley Field in the bleachers.
Wait, what?
Say that Tinder again? Started at Wrigley Field. It's the same thing. Match.com, Tinder, Bumble. That's all it is. It's a meat market. You know why they turned their backs at Guaranteed Rate Field? Because they're discussing the scorecard with the fellow fans and the intricacies of the lineup.
That's your all-time best. There you go.
That was good.
You're right. You're right. Claudine and Rupert out there in left field on their give me 17 beers. It's your last call. That guy was discussing the scorecard. You're right. Jesus. And another thing to both Mo and Courtney, and I guess you, King, Comiskey Park was better when it was Comiskey Park. When Jeff Torborg or Tony La Russa was managing in the 80s in the Golden Box seats, the place was the greatest, and it smelled terrible, and it didn't have the accoutrements. It was better. Period. No. End of story. Just like Chicago Stadium was better than the United Center. If you don't have that take, then to me, you're not even a sports fan.
Stadiums don't look like that anymore, though, Mark. I mean, That's just the way it is. Unless we're talking Fenway and Wrigley, stadiums don't look like that anymore. It is what it is. I mean, it's not like it's – I mean, I've been to, probably 25 stadiums in baseball. They all are kind of like that now. I mean, you go to Washington, D.C., it feels like you're in a mall. Like, it's right. You don't have that anymore. So it's not just the White Sox. That's everyone.
Right.
And the White Sox have done a really nice job with that stadium. A really nice job with that
stadium. It's a fun place. It's easy to get around.
It is.
Their feed rate is 32 years old.
Really?
And
really,
it's holding up beautifully.
I agree with the king.
That's such a fascinating take, considering were you not screaming at White Sox management about your entry into the ballpark the other day, King? Mister, it's easy to get around, you hypocrite.
I said it's easy to get around in the ballpark.
Not
driving around the ballpark.
And that is
the city of Chicago. Come on, help.
It is. It's a miserable.
Lollapalooza over the first place by 9 games Chicago White Sox, then you've made the wrong choice.
Yeah.
You go to Lollapalooza, which is might as well be called Lala COVID transfer versus the Chicago White Sox, first place Chicago White Sox. It sounds to me like we have an uneducated mayor, a team that has supported the city of Chicago for over 120 years should take precedence over a bunch of musicians that are committed to spreading COVID, for God's sake.
Okay, no one's committed to spreading COVID. This is you mute yourself for the next 5 minutes for that incredibly ignorant statement that you just made. I know it's very hard as the most balanced person on this podcast to enjoy another ballpark. When I go to Fenway, I think it's phenomenal. When I go to any old school ballpark back in the day, I think it's sweet. You all should enjoy your time at Wrigley. It's a great place, period.
Mark, you know what part of the problem with Wrigley is? What's the people that are there.
Okay, just fine. Say it. Yep. That's fine. Yep. But that's fine. Just say you hate Cub fans. Don't say you hate Wrigley.
Hey, Mo, I guarantee you, though, we will be outnumbering the Cub fans by a lot. Oh,
that's why I'm King needs to go, man. Why not?
I agree.
100%.
Support your squad. Tony wants to see you there.
It's a shithole. If I want to smell
Tony
urine,
give I'll hugs go. in the dugout.
Yeah, if I want to smell urine, I'll follow my dog outside, and after she pees, I'll smell it, just like another dog. I don't need to go to a ballpark to smell urine and watch fans that don't know baseball.
I honestly
don't need to do that.
I honestly think you should be fined for giving up front row on the dugout seats to watch your White Sox crack the Cubs. That is an unacceptable decision by you, and quite frankly, I'm embarrassed. Mo's going, Courtney's going. You are just too good for it.
I have to sit on the Cubs dugout. I'd much rather be on the Sox dugout.
Oh my
God. That's beautiful.
It'll be the same thing because all that will be there is knowledgeable Sox fans. So don't worry about it, Mo. You'll be surrounded by
but that's why you need to go, King. You're saying there are going to be Sox fans all over. Come join. Help them out. Watch them sweep. Bring your broom.
The problem with Wrigley is entering Wrigley. No, thank you.
All right. Let's move on. We're not moving anybody on this topic, clearly. Hall of Fame announcer, the former Sox GM, and, of course, the voice of White Sox baseball. The Hawk goes into the Hall of Fame. He is he was at Guaranteed Rate Field throwing out a first pitch, and they were asking about Tony. And the Hawk says the first thing is I like Tony La Russa. I didn't fire him because he was a bad manager. Only he knows, and I know why, and it's going to stay that way. Can somebody tell me why he fired? I love Hawk. First of all, it's not only he and you that know. Some other people definitely know. Jerry Reinsdorf for sure knows. Maybe even the King knows. Courtney, do you know? Mo, do you know? Why did he fire Tony? What was the real reason that the Hawk said goodbye to Tony in 86 and was looking for a different skipper for his White Sox?
I've heard rumblings on the reasons why. I'm not going to relive the 80s, though, man. You know, I love Hawk. I was so happy to see him at the park. The guy deserves his due in the Hall of Fame. He got, you know, kind of screwed with COVID last year, which sucked. Very happy to see the Hawk. I miss him in the booth every day. We all know how I feel about Benetti. Not a huge fan. You know, I'm not going to relive the 80s and, you know, trash on La Russa and whatever the hell happened there. Hawk was a wacky GM. We all know that. You know, I was very, very young. I don't even think I was alive during that time. I like to always hype my age on this podcast. Thank you very much. You know, Hawk was a wacky GM, but he deserves his toast with the crowd, his Hall of Fame acceptance. I'm very, very happy for the Hawkaroo. Glad he's doing healthy. Yeah. Glad he's healthy as well.
I can't say it enough. I have to say it every time. I love the Hawkaroo. Mo, you have anything to add to this or King, somebody?
I have no knowledge. I was a, you know, probably puberty high school kid at the time, so I got nothing.
I was graduating from high school I guess I was in college, and I say bygones be bygones, Mark. what really intrigues me is that voice. I think if you'd use that more often, I think you're definitely sexier, and I think you would have a larger impact on the world if you continue to use that Hawk Harrelson voice. I think it's quite good.
Let's not
focus on Tony and Hawk. Let's focus on the 2001 Chicago first place White Sox by 9+ games and Mark Carmen's new voice. I think that's what we work on.
All right. Well, let's do that, King. And let's talk about the White Sox going to Dyersville, Iowa to play in the first ever Field of Dreams game, the movie starring Kevin Costner, Ray Liotta, James Earl Jones, and Amy Madigan. You remember it. It takes place at the Lansing Family Farm. And King, I believe you're going to be there. And I am planning on joining you, shockingly, as I have been invited to drive a Chevrolet across Illinois and into Iowa. And this was the greatest email. I'm going to take a step out of this voice for a second. This is the greatest. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Get this email. Any interest in going to the Field of Dreams game August 12th? And they are, in addition to providing two tickets to the Field of Dreams game, we'd be happy to loan you a 2021 Chevy Tahoe to drive from Chicago to Dyersville, Iowa. And they are giving me a game day per diem, hotel accommodations. We would cover your accommodations at the Current Iowa, a Marriott Autograph Collection property for the night of August the 12th. And I get this diesel vehicle to drive. So far be it from me, unlike the King, to turn down front row seats. I am on my way to take in the White Sox and the Yankees, damn it. And I'm damn excited about it, for the record. Team.
Who is inviting you out there for that? What is this? What the hell are you doing?
I'm a very, very, very important person. I've got beef, though. You ready for my beef? Does anybody want to even gander a guess, Courtney, as to what my beef would be about the White Sox did in regards to this game?
I think I probably have an idea, but I'm going to let you tell us all, because I'm sure I have an idea once you say it. Okay. I'll let you know if I'm right or not.
Okay. You sure you don't want to guess? It'd be a lot more fun if you guessed.
You want me to, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to let you do it.
Okay. So I don't think it's the same thing. The Sox put out a tweet, and on the tweet, it's Lance Lynn and Eloy Jimenez. Hey, this is a historic game. Where the hell is Jose Abreu? That's your guy.
We were thinking of different things, by the way, but I always appreciate the Jose Abreu love. You know that, Mark.
I mean, that's your Field of Dreams. And I'm sure Abreu doesn't care, but I'm out here for you, Jose Abreu. I think you should have been in that picture. Does anybody disagree?
I do. You're so petty. You need to focus on bigger things, dude. Come on.
No.
They have Craig Kimbrell. Like, oh, my God, it's offensive. He's only been with the Sox a weekend. Like, come on.
No, this is the Field of Dreams game. It's been in the works for nearly a decade. Jose Abreu, face of the franchise. Come on, Mo. If this was picked off, it'd be Ken Henriksen. Or I'm talking softball now out of nowhere. But that's the guy who's run the same softball team for 30 years. Jose Abreu is the face. It's not Liam Hendricks. I mean, Liam Hendricks. It's not.
His name's Lance Lynn, and right now he is the face of that pitching.
And why wouldn't she say that? Why wouldn't she say TA7? I mean,
yeah, okay, fine. I can live with TA7, but it's Abreu. Come on.
Yeah, Abreu.
Maybe he doesn't like the uniforms, and maybe he's going to bring scissors, and maybe he's going to channel Chris Sale, and maybe we're going to have a problem.
No, Abreu would never do that. Wrong guy.
I was kidding.
Completely the wrong guy. Even if he didn't like the uniforms, he would never do that. And for the record, I really like Chris Sale. A lot of Sox fans want to shit on him. I really like Chris Sale, but he would never do that.
King, are you? What's your plan? Are you staying at the same Marriott, or what? I know you're going with your dad. Are you going to drive there and drive home? What's happening?
I had a very sweet just before this call. I had my father call me and said we have to solve a problem.
Oh, no.
I said, what's the problem? Because we were going to stay Thursday and Friday night. He said, you know, your mother's 90 years old. I can't leave her two nights. I can get somebody. So we're going to go the game. We're going to bring somebody in for Thursday night. And then we're going to leave Friday at noon and drive home. So I think we're probably staying at the same place you are, because we are going to stay there Friday just to hang around, play golf, go to the distillery, you know, maybe do a little spa. You know, who doesn't like to have a 90-year-old man in a spa, you know? And but he can't because he has his wife of 67 years at home waiting for him, which I think is kind of sweet.
So that's beautiful that you wanted to spend extra time with your dad, although I don't think anybody's going two nights stay for this thing. I think most people are going one night and coming back, so you're not really missing out. And speaking of that, as we are recording this podcast, I'm in Boyne City, Michigan, and I want to give love to this beautiful area of the country because it's awesome up here. But I booked this hotel room And I got up here. It's a 5.5 hour drive. And they're like, sir, we have no room for you. You're actually booked at the Boyne Highlands, which is 45 minutes north of here. And I looked at the 18, 16, 14 year old at the desk and said, you don't have any other rooms in this property? Are you kidding me? No, sir, we do not. And so then I was in the position of either yelling at a 16 year old or putting my head between my legs and walking out of there and driving 45 minutes north. So I made that choice. And as I got, and when I got to the Boyne Highlands, there was a gentleman who resembled the king sitting outside of the building that I was assigned to. And I said hello to him, to this creepy gentleman, and he kind of mumbled at me. And then I went in, saw the room, no double bolt. I feel like I'm going to get have some troubles there. I go back out, get my luggage. I walk back in. The guy's still sitting there. He's staring at me awkwardly. And then as I lift, put my head down and put it back up, all of a sudden the dude's gone. Then I go into the building through a different entrance, get to my room, and he's standing right outside my room looking at me. And it was at that point that I thought I was going to be having a really tough time getting through the evening. I requested a transfer of rooms to a safer part in the property. Unfortunately, I was told no. And luckily, I have now acquired this Airbnb where I'm recording with you today. So I know that you guys were all thinking of me in my Boyne Mountain excursion. The Boyne Mountain tennis tournament is tomorrow. I'll be taking on Evan and Katia, who's 15, who I battled with today and spoke with her mother, who was watching the excursion. It's been a day. I feel like I needed to talk about this. So thank you guys for listening. King, this all plays in somehow to Iowa and trips and vacations.
The only thing I have to say is, Mark, is that, sure, boy, you got a pretty mouth. You know, a good line for the deliverance, if you know what I mean.
Is that the reason why King was late? Was because he was stalking your room? Is that possible?
Well, and you know, squeal like pigs.
I mean, I'm telling you.
You know, I mean, if the Ned Beatty, rest his soul, and deliverance. That's just what it was. It's a movie that you can't get out of your mind, Mark. I can appreciate that. My only advice to you is use your Ken Harrelson voice.
Okay? Hello there, sir. I am a little bit perturbed by your existence.
Yeah.
And now that I'm walking back out of this property an hour later after showering and you three are sitting there at your pickup truck, is not making me feel any more comfortable.
There you go.
And
Mark, you drove 5.5 hours to two different hotels, ultimately a third, to lose a tennis match to a 15-year-old girl, and you're talking about a creepy guy?
No. I beat Katia. Katia lost. Thank you very much. Katia went down.
But some guy is a creepy guy, not you playing a 15-year-old in tennis.
Oh, no. You're right about that. I'm creepy.
You see where I'm going with this, Courtney?
I absolutely do. And you're completely. And that was literally. That was literally my thought when he was telling that story. I'm like, why is this guy playing against a 15-year-old girl? I was deeply concerned.
This is good game analysis, Mo. Way to go. Well, you keep going, Mo.
I mean, I feel like, Mark, I feel like you're like Kramer in Seinfeld, you know, doing Taekwondo with the kids. I mean, what are you doing?
This is ridiculous. Hey.
This program was recorded on tape for a live audience.
That ball hit deep into left field, way back. He looks up. You can't put it on the board. Yes! A grand slam homer by El Caballo, Carlos Lee, and the Sox win it here in the bottom of the 10th inning.
Given up on the year. Ray Duncan.
Welcome to Wrigley. He cracked the bat on that swing and still drove it out of the park. The bat shattered in his hands.